This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and all across America. I'm your host, Jay Schell. Our guest today is Steve Capra, Executive Director of Bold Visions Conservation. Stephen has worked for 30 years in conservation of wolves and other wildlife. He's been executive director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance and our Texas Wildlife, and more recently of Footloose, Montana. Steve has led two successful campaigns for national monuments, the Rio Grande del Norte in Texas and Oregon Mountains Desert Parks. So welcome, Steve. Good to be talking to you once again.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
To you a couple of years ago, and so I want to hear what you're doing these days. Tell us about Bold Visions Conservation.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to have my own organization, and I thought it was important to bring this back after things didn't quite work out with Footloose. And this is an organization that's willing to go where it needs to go and be on the front lines of issues that affect wolves and other wildlife. It's why in the last month I've either been in Montana or Idaho or most recently in Colorado, meeting with legislators, meeting with game and fish departments, and really being a voice for wolves and other wildlife. You know, that's very important, as is protecting the land. We basically talk about the fact that we want land where wildlife can thrive. And so protecting public lands is an important aspect of this also.
So does Bold Visions Conservation have a board of directors?
We do. It's small at the moment. It's funny you mentioned that. I was talking to a couple of people today about getting on my board. So I think you will see an expansion of the board in the weeks and months ahead. We've only been in existence 7 months. And so it's a short timeline. Now, we had a Bold Visions before, years ago, but we are a full-fledged organization now that is working in Idaho and Montana primarily, though we found ourselves in Colorado most recently.
So, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Colorado, those four states?
Yeah, we don't do much in Wyoming, but the other states, yes, we have been very engaged in what's going on.
And what's the scope of your activity? What's your major emphasis?
Well, I would say that our major emphasis is the protection of wolves. It's the protection of grizzly bears. It is working with the legislators in those states to come up with common sense bills that are going to be better for wildlife, or in some cases, fighting off the worst instincts of what we've seen recently in Republican-controlled states like Idaho and Montana. And there's been some horrible legislation and efforts to make trapping in Montana part of the Constitution. And for the last three legislative sessions in Montana, I fought hard to prevent those from happening. And I think the other aspect has been this national monument push in and around Bozeman. I can tell you that next month, the 26th and 27th, I'll be meeting with all the tribes of Idaho and Montana to discuss the National Monument proposal with them. And much as I've done here in New Mexico in days gone by, it's just a continuation of the work I've been doing for many, many years, with an emphasis on wildlife and an emphasis on creating public lands that are better focused for them. And obviously fighting against fish and game commissions that are so outdated and so focused on things like expanding the ability to kill rather than using sound science.
So tell me a little bit more about the wildlife monument. Where is it located, and what's the reason for designation?
Well, I think the reason is pretty straightforward. The idea is we've got to start having monuments that are built around wildlife. And I think in looking at Yellowstone, we saw one distinct area where there wasn't any protection. And that's kind of the Gallatin Range and dropping down into the west side in Idaho, where we've got wolves, we've got grizzly bears that use this for migration. We have bison coming up here. deer and elk obviously move up and down into this area, as well as things like wolverines, beaver, and other species that depend on this habitat. And, you know, I had the opportunity to meet with the forest supervisor, and I could see how bad things were going. The forest supervisors in Montana are working to destroy forests, not protect them. And we really realized this was a time that was really time sensitive to move and get protection for this area. Obviously, it's not going to be easy with a governor and legislature like we have, but I think that most people look at this and they say Yellowstone belongs to all Americans. And protecting this critical wildlife corridor that's steeped in history, these, you know, some of these areas were native hunting grounds that almost all the tribes participated in. So there's history. There's the need to protect this area for wildlife long term, because the Forest Service seems to be doing the same old thing, building roads and cutting timber. And that is going to continue to degrade this area that probably has close to a 500,000 acres of wilderness in its core. So the time is now to get it done. And having worked on monuments, it was a natural extension, only this one has more biodiversity than I've ever been involved with.
So the supervisor in the Custer Gallatin is changing right now. There's a new superintendent coming in. What's your hope for that?
Well, my hope is we've got somebody that's going to be more concerned about wildlife than about road construction. More concerned about not building roads and ending off-road vehicle intrusions into these sensitive areas. But I'm not going to bet the ranch on it, but I'm hopeful. Yeah.
So the Madison part of it, of the monument proposal, is in the Madison Range on the west side of Highway 191, right?
Correct.
And is there a section over on the east side of 191 in the Gallatin?
I believe so. I don't have a map in front of me right now to be able to tell you the whole thing. But what I can tell you is it's 1.6 million acres in size. So it's a significant chunk of public lands. And I think with what we're seeing with Big Sky and the contamination in the Gallatin River, I think we've really got to look at this in a long-term way and say, if we're going to continue to have the quality of life we want in this area, the creation of a monument will not only ensure the lands are protected, but it will also give another area for people who are just loving Yellowstone to death to be able to go into. The status of a monument is a drawing card for people to go into, and maybe that'll help disperse some of the crowds we've been seeing every year in the park.
And there's a high divide wilderness located inside of the Madison side of the wilderness, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the high divide wilderness.
Well, you've got areas up there, as I said, that are proposed wilderness or designated wilderness. They're continually being degraded. You know, if we looked at maps 30 years ago of this area, there was more wilderness that could have been had we moved forward and protected those areas. Now, as I look at those areas, and I understand that we've got Senator Steve Daines who wants to eliminate wilderness study areas, we have to understand these areas are on the block. And these are not just nice areas. They're spectacular areas filled with the full biodiversity we dream of in places like Arizona, New Mexico, or California. We have it all right there in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's why they call it the last best place. But we have a governor, and we have a legislature, and we have a game and fish department that's hell-bent on destroying it all. And we have trappers that have far too much power. So what we need is to set a precedent and say, we're going to protect an area for wildlife. We are going to change what's going on in this state that's hell-bent on destroying wild creatures, wolves in particular. And so the high divide, these whole areas need to be areas where wildlife can thrive and not continue be degraded. And that's an important reason why we're working on this monument. And as I said, it's not easy, but no monument's easy. It took 9 years in New Mexico to get two national monuments. And it took all kinds of work to get it done. And now, when you go to those areas, the communities are so proud and so happy that those areas have been protected. You have to beat through a lot of the negatives that comes out from legislators, ranchers, and others that will try to put down the idea of a monument. This monument is there to protect wildlife. That's the goal.
So do you have any legislative support in Washington?
I don't have legislative support in Washington, and frankly, I haven't gone there. I'm starting out with the tribes.
I see.
I think the tribes could be a very important part of this. We're working with businesses in the local community, and we're continuing to do that. And I should also mention, we're going to be working to continue on a project that I started with my former organization, and that's closing Sourdough Trail to trapping. We're going to be moving on that. I've already had conversations with commissioners and others. And so what we're trying to do is really improve the quality of life in Bozeman and beyond. And I think those are important yardsticks in trying to get these areas in a safer place, both for people to recreate and for wildlife to thrive.
And Sourdough Trail is at the south end of Bozeman?
Yeah. And you know Sourdough, the interesting part about Sourdough is it's where city lands intersect with Forest Service land.
Uh-huh.
And I had meetings with the forest supervisor previously, and she said, you know, if the city decides they want it off limits to trapping, then it would be an obligation of the Forest Service to close the Forest Service portion to trapping. So that's something we're going to continue to work on and hopefully can get some success soon. And that will be a springboard to getting everybody interested and more engaged in the idea of a bigger, longer-term national monument that could do wonders for the community and for wildlife.
There would have to be some restoration work done in the area designated for national monument?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we'll probably have to deal with legislation like we've seen over in Utah where they've tried to block that. But I think that anyone who knows the area understands the need for restoration. Again, especially if the goal is to enhance this area for wildlife and for recreation. And what we don't need is more roads and timber cutting.
One of your other objectives is to end wildlife killing contests. Are they allowed in Montana and Idaho? Anywhere?
They are. They are. They're allowed in both states. They're heinous. And I've been meeting with legislators and talking about some legislation in the next session that would be about ethical sportsmen. The bills would revolve around ethical sportsmen. They would work to end wildlife killing contests. They would end the baiting and calling out on the Yellowstone border of wolves and other wildlife to be slaughtered. And they would work towards making hunters carry bear spray, because we've seen an awful lot of incidents of hunters shooting grizzly bears when if they were carrying bear spray, there might have been a different outcome.
Mm-hmm. So one of your objectives is to reform wildlife management. Talk about the problem and what you're proposing to do in the way of reform.
Well, I honestly feel, and I think a lot of people would agree, wildlife agencies have to come into the 21st century. And what we can continue to see in Montana and Idaho is going backwards in time. I mean, we have bounties on wolves, you know, that are paid for in Idaho by taxpayers, and that I can assure you the Foundation for Wildlife Management is going to work to do in the next legislative session in Montana. And I think that all of that has to go away. We have to recognize the fact that sportsmen are there, but they're not paying the freight for these agencies at the end of the day. More money is coming from people who target practice than from hunters. So I think we have to recognize the fact that it cannot continue to be a playhouse for sportsmen. People are not here to end hunting, but what we're here to do is to bring it into the 21st century. No animal is being regulated like wolves. There is no season like we have on wolves, especially in Idaho, where it's a 12-month hunting season and where hunters are shooting pregnant females, cutting their stomachs open, and pulling out the fetuses to get bounties on them. Mm-hmm. Is that where we want to go in Montana? So these agencies have to come into the 21st century, understand we're trying to coexist with wildlife, and it's not all about trophies on the wall. We don't see that at all. And I think the biggest impediment I see, both in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, is the fact that state legislators have gotten into the business of wildlife management. It has to stop. They are not qualified to be wildlife managers, and the only thing they're doing is trying to enhance trapping rights, to push for more killing of wolves, to go and fight things like, you know, wolverines and their relisting. I mean, this is not where legislators should be. I get it that it's right-wing, crazy agenda. For what reason, I don't know. And we've got to get past the point where wolves are part of a rural-urban divide. I don't know how that got started, but that's clearly what is occurring here. And wildlife, like wolves, need a right to survive and thrive. They need the lands to do it, and they need the support to do it. And we need legislators in Montana and Idaho to back off, and we need the big footprint of the livestock industry to back away.
I saw on your website that you're opposed to the Pittman-Robertson Act. Tell me about that act. I'm not familiar with it, and why you're opposed to it.
Well, I think the bottom line is that Pittman-Robertson was started, you know, you had two iterations of it. Well, you had Dingell Johnson in 1960. Pittman-Robertson happened in the late 20s or 30s. I don't remember exactly right now. But that's where sportsmen agreed and hunters to give 10% of the cost of firearms and ammunition to go into a fund that would go to state agencies for fish and wildlife management. Now, one of the rules with Pittman-Robertson is that money's to be used to enhance all wildlife. But when you're sitting there killing wildlife like we're doing, especially predators in Montana, we're not living up to the values of Pittman-Robertson, which is a big income stream for the state. And we also have to recognize Pittman-Robertson is getting more funding, as I said before, from people who target, shoot, et cetera, than from sportsmen. And the time has come to recognize one final aspect of all this. Wildlife viewing brings far more money than anything else. And so if we're going to have wildlife agencies accepting Pittman-Robertson funding that's primarily funded by people who are not sportsmen, and the money is flowing to the states for game and fish agencies, then the game and fish agencies have a right to regulate trapping, to get rid of it, for that matter. They have a right to say wolves are self-regulating. They don't need this overt management.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to start recognizing the fact that wildlife viewing is being destroyed by all the people that continuously go out and kill predators and trap small animals, otters, mink, others, that, you know, we rarely get to see in the wild. And all of that's occurring under so-called management. It's not management that these agencies are doing. It's the destruction of wildlife.
I assume Pittman-Robertson is a federal act.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. And you were executive director of Footloose Montana, which was anti-trapping, and Bold Visions, I gather, is also focused on anti-trapping.
Yes.
What species besides wolves and you mentioned grizzly bear are you focused on protecting from hunting and trapping?
Well, I think beaver are another big issue. I mean, beavers are vital to the health of our lands, and they're being trapped in ridiculous, unregulated numbers. There's so many species of smaller animals. You know, one of the things you see a lot in Montana is you'll hear Fish and Wildlife reintroducing an animal, usually a smaller animal of some kind, to an area. But they're generally speaking reintroducing them so they can trap them again. And then the trappers overdo it as usual, and there's a problem. I mean, I don't understand in this day and time why trappers even have a say. It's cruel. We know that animals feel pain. We know they're suffering in these leg hole traps. We see family pets being killed in these beaver traps that are set on the banks of rivers. And yet, they seem to have carte blanche in Montana and Idaho. And people are sick and tired of it. And I think the other scary aspect is with all the people moving into Montana, I don't think a lot of people are aware of the dangers of going out. I mean, you could trap a coyote year-round. You can trap wolves for a number of months. It just ended a few days ago. But these conibear traps can be out there for beaver for long periods of time. Your dog gets at a conibear, he's not going to live. You're not going to be able to get him out. So, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that.
Are you getting any response from wildlife commissioners in Montana, Idaho?
You know, it's so interesting. I met with an Idaho commissioner the other day, and I talked to him. His name eludes me right now. But I had heard he was a pretty decent guy. And when I was at a commission meeting, I went over and introduced myself, and I started talking to him. They had just voted to support the Tri-State Grizzly Bear Management Plan. And I looked at him and I said, how can you stand there and support the killing of a grizzly bear? He goes, well, I don't hunt bears, so it's not a big deal to me. I said, wait a minute. I said, you just supported the killing of a magnificent creature that should never be hunted. I said, how can you stand here and think it's okay? He goes, I don't know. It's not a big deal to me. And then I started talking to him about wolves, and I said, what about wolves? I said, how do you do what you're doing here? I said, these wolves have no life. I said, they're under constant stress. And he goes, well, you've just got to really manage an animal like that. I said, so tell me another animal in Idaho that you manage like a wolf. I said, you don't do it with bears. You don't do it with lions. You don't do it with anything. He goes, well, we just really have to manage them hard. Translation, we're doing this for livestock interests. And I said, how do you sleep at night when you're doing this? And he goes, you and I think a lot differently. He goes, I believe animals have to be heavily, heavily managed. And he goes, and that's how we succeed in this day and time. That is so polar opposite of the way I view this, and I think the way a lot of people view it. How dare these people play God with wildlife when they're doing nothing but causing their life to be a living hell?
About a decade ago, there was an effort in Montana for an initiative referendum to prevent trapping. Do you think that it's timely to go for that again? And what about Idaho? What about any of the other states?
You know, I kind of see this at this point as it's interesting because I talk to donors and funders sometimes, and everybody wants a quick answer to how things can happen. Unfortunately, it's not. But this is what I would say. I would say in Montana, we've come a long way in 6 years. It's not where I want to be, and animals are still suffering. But we're going more and more on the offense, and we're pushing back against some of their worst impulses. And we're gaining a lot more traction with the public. And it's so important that the public really understand this. There's a lot of work to do in Idaho. I'd say Idaho is 10 years behind where we are in Montana. And I think what you have to understand when you move forward on things like statewide initiatives, the incredible amount of money that the NRA, that the Safari Club, that the Foundation for Wildlife Management and other groups that are all about killing wolves and trophy hunting will pour into an initiative. that makes it very difficult to succeed. Doesn't mean it's impossible. Doesn't mean I wouldn't support it. Just means you have to put all this in balance when you're moving forward. And, you know, for me personally, the biggest mystery remains, why aren't all of us nonprofits working together on issues like this? Many times I had a TV commercial. I spoke with other groups. I said, well, put your name on it. Give us some money to keep the commercial running twice as long. Nobody would do it. It's frustrating because in the end, it's about wolves. And, you know, I'm down in Colorado last week, and I'm lobbying legislators, and where are all the groups? Nobody's lobbying. And it's an incredibly frustrating thing, and that's not to demean. Every group works hard. Every group has their own niche. But I think what we're missing at the end of the day is when we're fighting the livestock industry, here in the West, by and large, they come out with one message, and they're unified. As conservationists, we might have 7 or 8 messages, and it leaves the public a little confused.
Is there a campaign that you're developing to increase public support?
Well, I'm always working on campaigns that increase public support, and I think that's partly why we saw the effectiveness of TV commercials and how they worked in Montana in particular to really educate the public. And I think that's an ongoing part of what I want to be doing. But I'm starting from scratch with a fairly young organization, but with a lot of experience to put into it. But the public education is vital. And I think that for us, you know, we've got to get the urban communities to be a large voice for wildlife. It's a lot tougher in the rural communities, and I think we have to understand the reality of how we're going to win. And it's going to be the urban communities stepping up and being a voice. And this was true in Colorado as they were bringing wolves back. It was the urban communities that delivered the victory. It wasn't the rural. And I think that we have to understand that we have that opportunity in these states that have solid, well-educated, caring urban communities. We have the same in rural areas. We just don't have the people in those communities that seem as inclined to protect wolves and grizzly bears and other species like that, which is a shame. It's kind of the irony of the states like Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana. You live in the most gorgeous places in America. You have the greatest diversity of wildlife, and yet you have so little support sometimes for the very species that enhance that beauty.
Steve,
this is kind of unbelievable.
We're almost out of time, so how can people who want to support Bold Visions, how can they get involved?
Well, I would welcome them to give me a phone call. My number's there. I would love them to go to our website, look it over, donate.
The website address.
We've got people, it's bvconservation.org. B like boy, V like Victor, conservation.org.
Well, that's great. Okay, Steve, we're out of time, but thanks very much. It's good to talk to you, and I hope you can increase your success. Our guest
Thank
today
you.
Has been Steve Kapfer, Executive Director of Bold Visions Montana. He's working to conserve wildlife in the Northern Rockies. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org or buzzsprout.com. And our website is js-wilderness.com. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Jay Shell.